China's president sets his sights on creating a regional tech powerhouse to rival Silicon Valley. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. That goal from President Xi Jinping came in a speech from Shenzhen to mark the 40th anniversary of the city's designation as China's first special economic zone. It's been used as a testing ground for reforms that have helped the economy become the world's second largest, something President Xi praised.
The city has achieved a historical leap from a backward remote town to a metropolis with global influence. Shenzhen is showing to the world the power of China's reform and opening up and the bright future of socialism with Chinese characteristics.
Technology is a key to that opening up strategy, as Andy Xie, an independent economist in Shanghai with past work at Morgan Stanley and the World Bank, explains.
His speech again emphasizes the new focus to enhance the party control over the economy and all aspects of the economy, including technology. The Sino-US rivalry obviously really boils down to technology. The US will continue to block Chinese companies from accessing high-tech supply chain. So that has become very urgent. And the state-owned enterprises and the government institutions have not done very well at advancing technology. So I think that there's a focus on Shenzhen, probably the most innovative city in China, and trying to get help there.
President Xi really wants to rival tech hubs in Tokyo and Silicon Valley. Can China rival such industry stalwarts that we see in those places?
Well, China has been very successful at commercializing technologies. You can see from mobile payment system to e-commerce platform and so forth. What China lacks is fundamental innovations. And I think that has a lot to do with the incentive system. People are very much focused on making money, and even universities are focused on making money. So the government still has not outlined the strategy of shifting from making money to fundamental innovations. In the United States, the Defense Department and universities played an instrumental role in advancing technologies after the Second World War. So it's been decades of accumulation. It's very difficult to replicate that in a few years.
So if the Chinese government hasn't yet outlined a strategy to do this, do you think we'll actually see any kind of change in the near term?
I doubt it. I think the regime's focus is on internal stability. In terms of technology, it has military implications. Obviously, you must have the most advanced technologies to win a war. But in terms of economic stability, it is not necessarily so. So I think that the government will struggle over the coming years in terms of technology. They will try different ways. But the issue is that universities have no freedom. Scientists have no freedom in terms of what they can do. In this kind of environment, it's not easy to replicate what the U.S. has done.
Andy Xie, independent economist in Shanghai for us. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Here in Europe, benchmarks in London, Frankfurt, and Paris are up between 0.1% and 0.4%. That's as coronavirus restrictions are being stepped up in many parts of the continent as nations grapple with rapidly rising case counts. The measures are hoped to prevent wholesale lockdowns later on, as the BBC's Stephen Ryan reports.
The European Union's attempt to provide clarity for travellers and businesses involves a traffic light system. From green to red, it's the first time EU countries will be mapping the virus using uniform criteria. But individual countries will still have the final say on whether to take part or not and on what restrictions they'll impose on foreign visitors. Europe's policymakers are facing difficult decisions, balancing public health with not unnecessarily hampering the economy. The Eurozone suffered the deepest contraction on record in the second quarter, falling 11.9%. In England, a new three-tier alert system has kicked off. But opposition politicians say a lockdown will eventually be needed in order to save lives. Across Europe, in the Czech Republic, schools, bars and restaurants will be closed for 3 weeks, while the Netherlands has announced a partial lockdown for the next month, and France's President Emmanuel Macron is expected to outline further restrictions today. In London, I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
The World Bank has approved $12 billion in funding for developing nations to buy and distribute COVID-19 vaccines, tests, and treatments. That money, it says, will support efforts to vaccinate nearly 1 billion people against the virus. As part of our ongoing fast-track coverage, which looks at the challenges of delivering a vaccine to the world, I spoke to DHL's chief commercial officer, Katia Bush, about how the package delivery company is ramping up cold storage to make vaccine distribution possible.
To distribute normal vaccines in a temperature range of 2 to 8 degrees is really not an issue. This is daily business. So what we are facing now is this ultra frozen temperature range between minus 20 up to minus 80 degrees. That means that we will certainly have to take a few invests in ultra low temperature freezers. And we already have a lot of them, but we're now looking, do we have them where we need them?
What does the process of transporting something like this at a scale like this look like?
The real challenges are starting when the vaccine is at the final destination. But the moment we drop the parcel, we have in approx 25 countries in the world with a population of about 2.5 billion people, there is already a proper logistics infrastructure in place, so that shouldn't be any problem. But what about the rest? There is a big gap where we don't know today what happens once we drop the parcel. And this issue, we need to team up with the governments and with the manufacturers to have the discussions, to do a proper planning, and then to see how much money is needed to prepare this infrastructure, and finally, where to get this money from.
So how long do you think it will take to get all the necessary infrastructure in place for that last mile of delivery?
If we estimate that there will be a vaccine in the beginning of the year, and knock on wood, that it's going to be like that, then we should have, at least in the first quarter next year, the infrastructure in place.
Katia Bush, Chief Commercial Officer at DHL. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, for much more with Katia and all of our coverage on vaccine distribution challenges, head to marketplace.org and click on the Fast Track tab at the top of the page. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.